Let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal, righteous, loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thy presence with joy in this evening, Father, thankful that we have this opportunity to come round about Thy word, Lord, to be fed thereby to our inner man, to our spiritual man, that we might be strengthened in our faith, Lord, that we might be drawn near unto Thee, that we might, Lord, be able to please Thee well, Father, and that we might feel Thy Father, love towards each and every one of us. This we do ask and pray, and a blessing upon thy word, in Jesus' name, amen. For this evening, let's turn and read together from Psalm number 139. Psalm number 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There were times in King David's life that he experienced great joys. He experienced the Lord's presence. He felt that God was blessing him, and those things were very prominent and very well seen and felt by King David and even by others as well. There was a time that he defeated Goliath. He defeated the Philistines. He established a kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. And he did great and mighty things. And there was great joy in his life. But there were also struggles. There were also times when things were very difficult for him. There were times when he was being pursued as a dog. And there was time when he just really was wronged even by his own son, and many other struggles that he had. And yet God was with him. God was with him the entire time. And he writes this psalm, and he shares of that truth, that God is there, and God was with him throughout it all, in the good times and in the bad times, and in the great struggles that he had. The Lord was with him. And we see that truth throughout scriptures, that the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. And tonight, I just want us to have that comfort and that peace in our hearts, that we can be assured that the Lord is with us. We read in Isaiah a beautiful verse. It's in chapter 41, verse 10, where the Lord says, "Fear thou not." In other words, have peace. Have peace. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is a promise. These are multiple promises that are contained in one verse from God, from the Almighty, from him who can do all things. He makes these declarations, and they are true. We can take them and embrace them in faith. We do not need to fear, for he is with us. He is making that promise. He is with us. We don't need to be dismayed. He is our God. He will strengthen us. He will help us. Yea, he will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness, by his definition of righteousness, by the true righteousness of God. He will uphold us with his right hand. He will be there with us. And we rejoice in these promises. They carry us through. They give us a great assurance, and also they also give us a beautiful calm in our hearts when we know with certainty that the Bible is clear that the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. In the New Testament, we read in Hebrews chapter 13, "The Lord hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God will not do that. God will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will abide with us. He will be with us. And then, because this is true, we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me." No matter what the circumstances, we can have that great assurance that the Lord will be with us. And it doesn't matter what men does to us. There are many accounts that we can read of those who have suffered for the faith. In various texts, there's some, certainly in the Bible, and then there's some in Martyr's Mirror, and various people who have suffered, even underneath a communist regime, that they suffered severely. But they didn't have to fear, because God was with them. And God would not forsake them, and they didn't need to fear what God or what man would do unto them. And so we claim these promises, even as King David wrote, of this blessed truth that he is with us. He will not leave us. He will strengthen us. He will help us, and he will uphold us by the right hand of his righteousness. The Apostle John has also written of this truth as well, and where he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us." We have known this. We have known that God truly loves us in a beautiful and powerful way. And we marvel why he would love such a one as us. And we believe these things. And then the verse continues, and he says, "And God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." When we dwell in love, we dwell in God, and God dwells in us. This is another truth that we can lay claim to and be assured of with great, great faith. So when we suffer long and are kind, then we're dwelling in love, and therefore we are dwelling in God, and God is dwelling in us. When we don't vaunt ourselves and when we are not puffed up, we are dwelling in love, and therefore we are dwelling in God, and God is dwelling in us. These are humbling thoughts. When we don't behave ourselves unseemly and we are not seeking our own, we are therefore dwelling in love, and therefore we are dwelling in God, and God is dwelling in us. These are beautiful truths that we can have throughout scriptures, that we can see the love that God has toward us and his desire to fellowship with his creation and his promises that he will be with us and he will not cast us away. He will not put us off, but he will dwell with us. And so David writes these words and he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God has searched us out, and he knows us. He knows us through and through, even as he knows all things. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows when we are resting. God knows when we are at ease, when we are downsitting. And God knows our uprising, when we are about our ways, when we are doing the things that our activities take us in. God knows all those things at all times. He understands our thoughts afar off. He understands our thoughts afar off. He knows these things. He knows the things that we are thinking. He knows what's driving those thoughts. He knows these things. And I'd like to go to a verse of the previous psalm. In Psalm 138, verse number 6, it says, Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. We know that the Lord is high. We know he is high and lifted up. He is worthy of glory, even as we have prayed together this evening. He is worthy of glory. He is high, but yet he has respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. He knows them afar off. The Lord can identify the proud even afar off. Even as he writes here, King David in verse number 2 here of Psalm 139, that he understands our thoughts afar off. The Lord doesn't need to dig into the details to understand what our thoughts are or why they are what they are, but he already knows them even from a distance. David writes, Thou compasseth my path and my lying down. Again, here's the Lord compassing, encircling, surrounding us in our path and in our lying down. Again, when we are going and we are doing about our business and we are in the path, or when we are lying down, whatever state, in the daytime when we are active, in the nighttime when we are resting, the Lord knows all these things, and he compasses all of that, and he is acquainted with all of our ways. The Lord is fully aware, fully knowledgeable of all of our ways. And he says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every word that we speak, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. In James we read of that chapter that speaks of that there can't come out of a mouth a blessing toward God, even the Heavenly Father, and then a cursing toward men who are made in the similitude of God. That cannot be. And Jesus speaks of that as well in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says, But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Our words are known unto the Lord. Each and every one of them. And the Lord knows it all together. And then he says these thoughts in verse number 5 and 6, where he says, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. This is our God who dwells with us. He surrounds us. He besets us, meaning that we are contained by him. He is in front of us, he is behind us, and he lays his hand on us. These are wonderful thoughts. These thoughts give us a calm assurance. It gives us peace, even in a troubled world. And when trouble comes our way, we can have these thoughts and know that they are true and have the peace of God within us as we consider these things. God is before us. God is after us. And he lays his hand upon us. This knowledge is too wonderful for me, David says. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. The God who made all things, the God who can do all things, who spoke the worlds in place, who made an ecosystem that can be self-sustaining, and has done many wonderful works, and yet he loves us so much that he wants to dwell with us. He is in front of us, he is in back of us, and he lays his hand on us. It's wonderful thoughts that the Lord has for us. And then he speaks of these words about trying to depart from the Lord. If there is a place where we could go that we could depart from the Lord and not be in his presence any longer, he says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" We cannot escape the presence of God. He is there. He is always there. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Wherever we might be, God is there. God is there. He will lead us by his hand, and his right hand shall hold us. Again, these are wonderful thoughts. Wonderful thoughts. Abraham was called from the land of Ur into the land of Canaan. God was there all of the way. From that one side of Mesopotamia all the way to the other side. The children of Israel were in Egypt for 430 years. God was with them that entire time. They weren't outside of the presence of God because they were outside of a certain land. God was with them. God was with them. The children of Israel were, the children of Judah actually, were in Babylon for 70 years. God was with them. God was with them and brought them back. Adam and Eve sinned, and they thought that they could escape the presence of the Lord by simply just going to the other side of the garden. God was there. God was there. Jonah thought he could flee from the presence of the Lord by going out into a ship. But here David even writes that if we go out into the seas, that he is there, uttermost parts of the sea. God is there. And God took Jonah and brought him even to the depths of the sea, and yet God was there. God is there. There's nowhere where we can go where we can escape the presence of the Lord. He is there. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the night shall be light to me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. The darkness and the light, there's no difference in God. In his presence, there's no difference between light and darkness. He created them both. Just like with God, there's no time. We are bound by time. We are bound by light and darkness. But God is not bound by time. He is outside of time. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And yet he who is from everlasting to everlasting encompasses us. He confines us. He holds us. He is before us. He is behind us. And he lays his hand upon us. And he holds us with his right hand. The Almighty God is with us. And then he speaks of even before we were born, God was with us. He says, thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. While we were yet in our mother's womb, he covered us. And then he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We are truly amazed by what God has done. I marvel every time there's a birth. How can it be How can it be that the cells were all joined together perfectly, and there's 10 fingers, 2 arms, 2 eyes, 1 nose, 2 ears, hair, everything situated absolutely perfectly, every time, most every time? That's God's doing. And he covers us while we are yet in our mother's womb. And so, therefore, the expression is made, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. When we consider what God does and the works of his hands, we can't but only marvel at it and then praise him for that. David says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. God saw when we were but yet little cells within our mother's womb, yet being unperfect, meaning yet being incomplete, meaning there was no fashion to our bodies yet. We were in that early, early development stage. And in thy book, all my members were written, and in continuance they were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. When as yet there was none of them. When we weren't even yet developed, God was there. God was there. His presence is with us. Shall we fear that he would leave us? Shall we fear that God would leave us? God is there. When we walk in love and we dwell in him, he will dwell in us. When we walk in the Spirit, he will be with us. When we walk in love, he will be with us. When we walk by faith, he will be with us. And we rejoice in this. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5 says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. It's simply amazing, the works of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We can understand sometimes how cellular structures are formed and like flesh and other things of that nature are kind of grow and expand. But how is it that bones, hard material, can grow in perfect form within the womb? This is God's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. We rejoice in it. And we praise him for all these things. And the Lord here is saying, David is saying here, inspired by the Spirit, that God is with us even in that time. When we are unperfect, when we were not even yet formed in our mother's womb, God was there. God is there. And he is with us. And we rejoice in him. Then we get to verses 17 and 18, and perhaps if you remember any of the verses from this evening, remember these two verses, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. God's thoughts to us are precious. They are precious. And he says, O God, and he uses an exclamation mark. The Bible uses the exclamation marks very sparingly. But yet in this verse, there are two of them. How precious are the thoughts of God toward us? It gives us such a calm assurance. It gives us great joy in our lives. It gives us peace that no man can take away from us. That his thoughts toward us are so precious. And then not only that there are thoughts that are precious toward us, but they are of great sum. There's how great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. We've all been to the beach before. We have seen the vastness of the number of sand particles on the beach. We wouldn't even want to count how much sand there is in a handful of sand, let alone the whole beach. And here David's making this proclamation that the sum of God's thoughts to us are more than the sand on the sea. More than the sand of the sea. And they are precious toward us. This is a God who loves us. And so therefore John in his epistle is so true when he writes, God is love. God is love. And when we dwell in love, we dwell in God, and God dwells in us. And so these are precious thoughts. They are wonderful thoughts, and we rejoice in these thoughts that God has done for us. Then further he says, at the very end, he says here, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." We live in this flesh, and we live on a cursed earth, and yet God's Spirit is powerful. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world. And when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are walking in love, when we are walking by faith and displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then we can say, as David did here, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my ways, know my thoughts, know my thoughts." He knows our thoughts afar off. He already made that proclamation. But we are, here David is saying, "Search me and try me." There was that time recorded in 1 Samuel 24 and also in 26 that David had two opportunities to get vengeance on King Saul, who was pursuing him. And he didn't. He didn't take vengeance. He didn't take vengeance on King Saul. He had the opportunity to, but he did not. He did not. He was even asked to by those who were with him, his servants, to take King Saul's life. He did not. And therefore, he could say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." He had this confidence where he writes in verse number 19 here, "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O Lord, O God." The Lord will slay the wicked. Vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. The vengeance doesn't belong to us. That's not ours. That's the Lord's. King David knew that, and he was giving that to the Lord. "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me according to thy Spirit. Lead me in love. Lead me in this way of everlasting. Lead me in faith, that I might go in a way that would please thee well. Lead me in this way that is everlasting. If we fear God and keep his commandments, he will dwell with us. He will be with us. He will beset us. He will compass us before, behind, and lay his hand upon us. And Jesus also said that we are in the palm of our Father, and no man can pluck us out of there. We rejoice in these truths. It gives us great comfort. It gives us great joy. We trust in him and in this, giving us just this calm assurance, a peace that God is with us, even in our struggles, even in our difficulties. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Have you ever asked God to search you? In a prayer, in a fervent prayer, in all sincerity, ask God to search you. Search me, O God. Search me and try me, Lord. If you haven't, is it because maybe you're nervous of what he would find when he searches your heart? Is there shame or guilt? Is what he finds going to be something that you're the most fearful about somebody else finding? Are you nervous that God would find out and reveal who you really are? Tear down the facade and show the creator of the world all of your sin. In Jeremiah 17, if God searches your heart and in my heart, and here Jeremiah says, Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. If God searches my heart and sees that I trust in man, this is what the Bible says that I am like. I am like the heath in the desert, and shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land not inhabited. Have you been thirsty? And there's not enough water to drink, and you're still thirsty. Sin, and seeing that we put our trust in man, leaves us thirsty. It leaves us wanting more, never satisfied. Jeremiah also says here, if God searches your heart and he sees that your trust is in riches, you're like, in verse 11, as a partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not. What bird sits on eggs that has no hope that they're going to hatch? If your heart is seeking after riches, it's a hope that will never come to fruition. It will never satisfy. And in contrast, in this same chapter, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. If God searches your heart and sees that you trust in the Lord, the result is this, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That even in the drought, fruit will be bountiful. And I love this declaration here, and I very much appreciate the psalm that was read, bookending. He bookends the psalm of God searching us. And here it is because I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, like on a horse, the reins, the integrity and the strength of the reins of direction, where it's going to go, where it's going to take you, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Praise God that the righteous, righteous master is the one who truly judges, and he judges righteously. And praise God that he is the one that can search our hearts. And praise God also, most of all, that in that searching, he offers us grace. He offers us mercy if we but take it. And he offers us salvation to turn from the wretchedness of our heart, from the wretchedness of our sin, and the wretchedness of who we were and who we could be, if we but turn to Christ, turn to his gift. That Christ would grab the reins, that we would allow him to guide us, that we would allow him to lead us. What a great psalm of God's majesty and his greatness, and what a privilege that we have. Think about this, what a privilege that we have to serve this God, this Almighty God. May his name be glorified and ever praised for now and evermore. Amen.